Well, for many years, my mom would send me vitamin D and ask me to take it every day, which I do, and people say, does it make her feel better? I'm not sure. It makes my mom feel better, so I take it. But this time of the year, you know, we don't get a lot of sunshine. And when we do, then it's really cold, and it gets clear, and actually it's very beautiful in the wintertime. The sun gets real low on the horizon. And when it comes in, like during a funeral, for example, the light in this church is really magnificent. And to look up at the stars to see, you know, when we were kids, it used to be something we'd say at night. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. Wish I may, wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. You remember that? I don't know if anybody else did it, but it would be kind of a little contest. If you saw the first star, then you'd get your wish, and which was, you know, to have the Brewers win the World Series. And it hasn't happened yet, but we can hold out hope. But the idea is that the Magi, these guys, are scientists. They're looking at the stars, and there's a whole study of the stars called astronomy, which really has been dedicated to a lot of great efforts, especially by Catholics, especially by Jesuits. It was so dominated by the Jesuits, it was called the Jesuit science. The 35 craters on the moon that are named after Jesuit priests. Well, anyway, you know that you've arrived when you get your own crater. But the goal is to study and to allow science, at least in the case of these Magi, science led them to God. We live in a world that says, oh no, it's one or the other, right? It's reason or faith, it's science or religion. When in fact, it's both, right? To follow the Lord through the stars or the things that he made, to see that the glory of God is in the firmament, it's on earth, it's in you and me, that science isn't against religion. And I've told you this quote from this rabbi, Jonathan Sacks. He said that science takes things apart to understand how they work. Religion puts them back together to understand what they mean. The Magi are scientists. They follow the star and they find it leads to the Christ, this little baby who is God's only son, who made the stars and the whole universe. And then he made us in his image and likeness. He created us. And so the thing about the sciences is that they're human. They have limitations, and we have to recognize that. The best billboard I ever saw was the one about Thomas Edison, that he found 10,000 things that didn't work. But he found one that did, and that's, of course, the light that we now, the artificial light, which, by the way, starting tomorrow, they're going to start taking these out. You might come to church next week and your pew is missing. You'll have to sit somewhere else, and that'll be a personal crisis, but we'll try to get through it. So the thing about astronomy is how ordered the heavens are, how ordered the universe is. I saw a whole presentation on why the star, what accounts for it, why it was so bright, things like that. They can study the heavens, and they're very ordered. And mathematicians know this for a fact. And for example, in 1531, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to this guy Juan Diego. And then he comes to the Bishop Zumárraga, opens up this little tilma, and out come the roses where kind of a miracle of a sort, but the constellations that were embedded on that tilma, they're still there, are exactly the nighttime sky of December 12, 1531. We know because you just have to do the math. It's very predictable. Halley's Comet, when I was a kid, 1986, that's when you could see it. It's coming back again in 2061. I'll probably still be stuck in Wausau, but it's coming back. I'll still be here, and we'll still be doing the good things we hope that we can do to thank God for the order of the universe, which implies an intelligence. Someone designed this. Now, the curious thing that is relevant to the readings is that King Herod is not an uneducated man. He's 4 miles from Bethlehem. He could walk there in just over an hour, but he doesn't. He makes inquiries and says, tell me what you see. I wonder about him. Did he not want to see it? This wouldn't make you curious? Like, just outside the city is this amazing star. It's a once-in-a-lifetime. No one will ever see it again. Sometimes I think we're afraid of the truth. We're afraid of the light, of what it might actually expose in us. There was this guy, Graham Greene. He was a Catholic author, but he lived a very double life right up until he died. He had a chance to meet Padre Pio, the most famous and holy priest of his time. Padre Pio, who heard thousands of confessions, arguably could read souls. And Graham Greene had a chance to meet him. Would you like to meet this guy? He's a future saint. He said, no, no thanks. He was maybe afraid of what this guy would see in him. And I don't know about you, but certainly in my life, there are times where I don't want God to know that about me. But of course he does. And it's only the light that sets us free. It's only the truth that leads us to the deep harmony that we're meant to have, that we struggle with sin, temptation. So did Herod, and so does everybody else in this planet. But not to be afraid, not to hide. I wonder if he was afraid or if maybe he was lazy. I don't feel like it. Sloth is a deadly sin. It was a senior quote one time. I know apathy is a disease, but I just don't care. That's pretty funny if you ask me. But anyway, the idea is that sloth, the things that we could do, should do, but we didn't. Somebody else can do it. Sins of omission, things that were right in front of us, but nah, I don't feel like it. There was a story about this young priest was in church, and he was back and forth in the sanctuary doing something. And then he saw this guy sitting in the second row, and he's like, oof. He could recognize him right away, so he ran over to the house, and he saw the old pastor, said, Father, Jesus is sitting in the church. What should I do? The old priest said, act busy. Well, I mean, it's not a pose. We're not just supposed to be busy without purpose, without mission. No, we're very intentional. What we do is for the Lord. George Washington Carver, one of the great inventors and scientists of the 20th century, every morning he'd get up and he'd say his prayers. He'd walk out, sit on a stump, and he would pray. He'd ask the Lord, give me inspiration, give me direction. And the rest of the day he'd spend doing what he felt God asked him to do. He's one of my great heroes. He founded, he's invented peanut butter, which is a great thing if you ask me. But the idea is that we are inspired by beauty, by goodness and truth. The Magi were scientists. They could see that this star is beckoning. It's asking us to, well, come and see. Aren't you curious? Don't you want to know more? That's the way God designed us. It's only in that relish of the truth and the beauty and the goodness that he's put all through the heavens. For the glory of God is in you and me and in everything that he made. There's a desire. Now we need grace to infuse that with power so we can get up and start moving. Starlight, starlight, first star I see tonight. Well, let's see. I wrote down a couple. Oh, yeah. You ever see a falling star? When I was a kid, I got to be in the Boy Scouts, and I remember the first time I saw one. Wow. I've seen many since. There's something about the world that God made. They used to say five Gospels. This was St. Francis. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the world that God made. Go outside tonight. Look up. Take a deep breath. Right in through your nose. You'll know the temperature. It's really nice and crisp and nice and, well, it reminds us that the clear skies, the heavens, the same ones the Magi saw, but they responded. They had an invitation, and they took God at his word. They were changed by that baby. I can't imagine the stories they told when they got home about this little baby who's a king. We gave him gifts, but he gave us a lot more. We received more than we gave. That's the great exchange. We come with our sadness and our fear. We leave here with hope and with the deepest faith, God's gift to us.